and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
I've been sharing about the subject of when we get home, in other words, when we get to be with the Lord, when we go to heaven. That is, those of us who are saved, we will go to heaven and we'll be with the Lord. Some things are going to be behind us, and some things are going to be before us. Some things are really going to be new. We haven't seen some of the things that we're going to see and experience when we get to heaven. But you know, we're still here. And we're going to look at something else in just a moment. But you know, sometimes I believe we just take God for granted. And we should never do that. When I'm teaching this about when we get home, we're going to go there. There's no doubt about it. Those of us who are saved, there's no doubt that we're going to go to heaven. But we should not take that for granted. Well, you know, we're not going to lose our salvation, but let's don't take God for granted. Let's remember who He is. Let's remember what He's done for us and give Him all the glory. When I go to the Lord in prayer, I try to uplift Him. You say, well, how can you do that? Well, I simply tell Him how great He is. I tell Him that He is the Creator, that He is the one who is Almighty God. He is all-knowing. He knows everything. He's everywhere. And I'm telling Him that. Now, He knows all of these things, but He wants to know that I know it. And He wants us not to take Him for granted, but to lift Him up, to exalt Him as our Lord and Savior, as the one who sent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into this world. And right now, I'd like to pray and ask God to help us not to take Him for granted, but to always remember who He is. Because one day we're going to see Him personally. Just stop and think of that, that we're going to see God personally one day, the God who created everything. Let's pray. Father, You are great. Lord, there is no other God. You are God of everything. Lord, You created everything. And Father, I lift You up. I exalt You. You know all. You know everything. And Lord, You're all powerful. There is no one, nothing is more powerful than You. Lord, You are so good. I exalt You today, Lord. Lord, help me never to take You for granted, but to always lift You up and remember that You are the one who saved me. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to seek and to save me personally. And I pray that we, as God's people, Lord, will always remember and give You all the honor and the glory that is due to You, because one day, Lord, we're going to be able to do that personally. And right now, I am doing it personally, but Lord, one day I will personally be in Your presence and I will thank You personally. And once again, Lord, I just lift You up in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to remember God daily, moment by moment, and realize who He is, that He is Almighty God. Well, when we get home, there's going to be certain things that happen. Some things will be behind us. Some things will be before us, and we've looked at those things. But now I'd want to say this, that some things will just bless us. There will be a feast, according to the Word of God. Luke 15:23, remember, we've been talking about the prodigal son. Luke 15:23 says, and bring hither the fatted calf. This is the father. Now, when the prodigal son came, he said, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Bring the best and let us eat and be merry. But when the prodigal returned home, he was presented with a great feast. The father killed the fatted calf and threw a great party because his son had returned home from the far country. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Do you know who's going to be there? Well, Christ is going to be there. God the Father is going to be there. We know that they're going to be there, but who else is going to be there? The bride of Christ, the one who is there because that bride has made herself ready. How does she made herself ready? She has allowed Jesus Christ to save her. Well, who is her? That's us. That's those people who have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. The marriage of the Lamb is going to take place, and Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. We are the ones who are going to be partaking of this supper. Why? Because we're married to the Lamb at that point. We're married. Rejoice, it says, and be glad and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, that's us, the church, hath made herself ready. One of these days we're going to be with our Savior, and he's going to be even more than our Savior. He's going to be the one that says that he's the bridegroom and we're the bride. Just as a husband and wife today are considered one, we will be one with Jesus Christ. Never to be separated. Never to lose sight of each other. We'll always be together because he gave us what we needed. He gave us eternal life, and he's made it possible for us to be with him forever. He has clothed us in fine linen, and this is the righteousness of saints. And it says there in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 19, "Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Now, I do not pretend to understand everything, but I do know that there will be a feast when we get home. Well, something else. Not only is there going to be a feast, but when we get home, there will be a festival. Now, Luke 15, we get back to the prodigal son here. In verse 24, it says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." When the prodigal returned home, verse 24 says that they began to be merry. When we, as saved people, and we witness, especially to a loved one, and we tell them about Jesus Christ, and they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they ask him to come into their heart, that makes us happy. We are happy because they were lost and now they're found. Now, we've seen them and we know they're here, but they were lost on their way to hell. But Jesus saved their souls. Luke 15, 24 says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." We are happy, especially when a loved one receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're so happy because our loved one is not going to die and go to a devil's hell. That person is going to be with us in heaven, and we're made happy because of that. We rejoice. And not only a loved one, a relative or as such who would get saved or we made happy and merry about, but anyone who received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If it's a man, they become our brother in Christ. If it's a lady, they become, that lady becomes a sister in Christ. And we're happy because that person has passed from death unto life. They'll be with us in heaven. When we get home, they're going to be with us. And I'd like to remind all the saints of God that heaven will probably be a far cry from the average Baptist church service. If you came to the average Baptist church on Sunday and didn't know better, you'd think someone died. In heaven, things are a far cry from that. In fact, in heaven, there is shouting and praising of the Lord. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And then we read in Revelation 19, verses 4 through 6, And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his saints, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. What a glorious time that's going to be. No more hindrance to us saying, Hallelujah, Amen, praise the Lord. We'll be able to do that to the top of our lungs. And, well, I suppose we're going to have lungs there. Our body's going to be changed. I'd use that as a term. It's just a term that I use, but I don't know. But whatever it is, whatever takes place, we're going to be singing praises to our Lord and singing hallelujah to the Lord, the one who gave his life for us, that saved us, and hallelujah to the Heavenly Father who sent his Son to send eternal life to us. Well, our praising will be better when we get home. There will be some people who will shout who have never grunted in church. I can't wait. Now, some of the things I have talked about, well, you will just have to wait until you get home to enjoy. But good old-fashioned praising the Lord is something that can be enjoyed right now by simply saying, Praise God, Amen, Hallelujah. When the prodigal son got home, now we've been looking at him, Luke chapter 11. But when he got home, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. When the prodigal got home, he found it was better. So will we. I praise God for what awaits the saints one day. However, some here probably listening to me are not going to the home I'm going to. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you will not go to my Heavenly Father's home. You will go to your home, and that home is hell. Jesus can change your home to heaven if you will come to him. If you will say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I want you as my Savior. I want to go to heaven. I want things to be different. I'm giving you myself right now. I'm dedicating myself to you. And Lord, would you please save me? I confess that I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. Please come into my heart and save me, so that one day I can praise you personally. Now, if you'll pray a prayer something like that, it doesn't have to be those words. It needs to be one that those words need to be something that confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's the Savior, and that you're sorry for your sin, and that you're tired of going your way. You want to go his way now, and his way leads to heaven. If you'll ask him, Jesus Christ will save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Or in other words, the children of God. Things will be better when we get home.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.